Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldar, and today we're Zichu Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Gimel, the first parak of Rosh Hashanim. Masechus Rosh Hashanah has been generously sponsored as a schus for Chaya Bas Esther. So the three times we're going to focus on number one, on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, the Gemara brought a mission that taught, Hatvua Ba'azeis Mishin Yaviu Shlish. Produce and olives require tithing from when they grow to one-third of their maturity. Rashi explains, the produce refers to grains and grapes, based on the pasuk, Ketvuas Gorn, Ketvuas Yekev, like produce of the threshing floor, and produce of the wine vat. On this daf, Rabbi Yirmiyah said to Rabbi Zera, but could the Rabban determine the difference between a plant that just reached a third of its growth and one that reached just less than a third? Rashi explains he was asking if there are such experts in a plant's growth. Rabbi Zera said to Rabbi Yirmiyah that he should not cast aspersions on the measurements of the Rabban. For all the measurements of the Rabban are like that. They're given in exact terms. For example, one cannot immerse in a mikvah measuring 40 sa minus a kartov. And an amount of food the size of an egg, less the volume of a sesame seed, in a matama tumas ochlin, does not transmit food tuma. Point number two, the Gemara seeks the source for the rule that produce is assigned to a given year based on when it reaches one-third of its maturity. We saw in a braise where Yonas ben Yosef says, the pasuk states, I will ordain my bracha for you in the sixth year, Vasa says, Atul l'sholosh shanim, and it will make a crop sufficient for the 3 years. Atikra l'sholosh el l'shlish. Do not read it as it's written, l'sholosh, for the 3 years. Rather, read it as though it were written, l'shlish, for a third of the crop. So that the sense of the pasuk is that produce is considered finished when it's one-third ripe, and it's this moment that determines which year's crop it should be assigned. When they ask how this pasuk can be used for a drasha when it's needed for the literal meaning, it answers that another pasuk is written for that purpose. V'zeratim es ha-shana ha-shminis v'achaltim min ha-tfua yashan ad ha-shana ha-tishis. And you shall sow in the 8th year, and you shall eat from the old crop until the 9th year. Since this pasuk already indicates that the crops of the 6th year will last for 3 years until the beginning of the 9th year, there was no need for the Torah to further state that the 6th year will make a crop for 3 years. And pointing with you, Gemara brings some Mishnah and Shviz that teaches rice, millet, poppy, and sesame, which are all types of kitnios, shehi shvishu lifnei Rosh Hashanah, that took root before Rosh Hashanah, are tithed according to the past year and are permitted in the 7th year. But if they took root after Rosh Hashanah, they're forbidden during the 7th year and are tithed according to the coming year. Rabbi said, Eimar Rabban, Ilan Basar Chanata. The Rabban said that the assignment of the fruit of a tree follows the emerging of its fruits. Tvua v'zeisim basar shlish, and produce and olives fall when they grow to a third of their full size. Yark basar akita, and the vegetable falls when it's picked. So what do the Rabban equate these items of kidneys with? The rule the Mishnah gives them of taking root doesn't match any of these categories. Rabbi then said, Metoshi asuin parachin parachin azli Rabban basar ashrasha, since they are crumbled one at a time, meaning that they are harvested a few at a time, resulting in some being picked before Rosh Hashanah, and some after, the Rabban chose to assign them based on taking root. So once again, the 3 points are number one, on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, the Gemara brought a mission that taught, Hatvua v'azeisim v'sheyaviu shlish, produce and olives require tithing from when they grow to one-third of their maturity. Rashi explains, the produce refers to grains and grapes, based on the pasuk, ketvuas gorn uketvuas yekin, like produce of the threshing floor and produce of the wine vat. On this doubt, Rabbi Yirmiyah said to Rabbi Zera, but can the Rabban determine the difference between a plant that just reached a third of its growth and one that reached just less than a third? Rashi explains that he was asking if there was such expert in a plant's growth. Rabbi Zera said to Rabbi Yirmiyah that he should not cast aspersions on the measurements of the Rabban. For kol min yisochom ken, all the measurements of the Rabban are like that. They're given in exact terms. For example, one cannot immerse in a mikvah measuring 40 sa minus a kartov, and an amount of food the size of a kabeya, an egg, less the volume of a sesame seed, does not transmit food tumor. Pointing between the Gemara seeks the source for the rule that produce is assigned to a given year based on when it reaches one-third of its maturity. It was taught in a braise where Yonas ben Yosef says, the pasuk states, I will ordain my bracha for you in the 6th year. Vasa says, Atul l'shalosh shanim, and it will make a crop sufficient for the 3 years. Atikra l'shalosh el l'shlish. Do not read it as it's written, l'shalosh, for the 3 years. Rather, read it as though it's written, l'shlish, for a third of the crop. So that the sense of the pasuk is that produce is considered finished when it's one-third ripe, and it's this moment that determines to which year's crop it should be assigned. When they want to ask how this pasuk can be used for a drasha, when it's needed for the literal meaning, it answers that another pasuk is written for that purpose. V'zeratim es ha-shana ha-shminis v'achalt es ha-tfua yashan ad ha-shana ha-tishis. And you shall sow in the 8th year, and you shall eat from the old crop until the 9th year. Since this pasuk already indicates that the crops of the 6th year will last for 3 years until the beginning of the 9th year, there was no need for the Torah to further state that the 6th year will make a crop for 3 years. And point number three, the Gemara brings a Mishnah in Shviz that teaches rice, millet, poppy, and sesame, which are all types of kidneys, shehi shvishu lifnei Rosh Hashanah, that took root before Rosh Hashanah are tithed according to the past year and are permitted in the seventh year. But if they took root after Rosh Hashanah, they're forbidden during the seventh year and are tithed according to the coming year. Rabbi said, Emor Rabban Ilan Basar Chanata. The Rabban said that the assignment of the fruit of a tree follows Chanata, the emerging of its fruits. Tvua Vezesim Basar Shlish, and produce and olives fall when they grow to a third of their full size. Yark Basar Akita, and a vegetable falls when it's picked. So what did the Rabban equate these items of kidneys with? The rule the Mishnah gives them of taking root doesn't match any of these categories. Rabbi then said, Mitoshi Asum Prachim Prachim Azu Rabbanim Basar Hashrasha. Since they are crumbled one at a time, meaning they're harvested a few at a time, resulting in some being picked before Rosh Hashanah and some after, the Rabban chose to assign them based on taking root. All right, so now we go to our Simon Daf Yud Gimel, and our standard Simon is a Bar Mitzvah boy. So here goes. The Bar Mitzvah boy excitedly used his new Rabbanan's measurement kit to determine exactly when his plant reached a third of its growth, hoping it would last for 3 years, and also to check if his kidneys had taken root. So once again, it's a motion. The Bar Mitzvah boy, that must be on Daf Yud Gimel. The Bar Mitzvah boy excitedly used his new Rabbanan's measurement kit to determine exactly when his plant reached a third of its growth, which reminds us more about a mission that taught the produce and olives required tithing from they grow to one-third of their maturity. Rashi explains the produce refers to grains and grapes. Rabbi Yirmi said, Rabbi Zera, they shouldn't cast aspersions on the measurements of the Rabbanan, for called me to Sochamim Kenu. All the measurements of the Rabbanan like that, they're given in exact terms. So the Bar Mitzvah boy excitedly used his new Rabbanan's measurement kit to determine exactly when his plant reached a third of its growth, hoping it would last for 3 years, which reminds us, Gemara seeks a source for the rule. The produce is assigned to a given year based on when it reaches one-third of its maturity. Sodom and Bryce, Rabbi Yonasan and Yonasan says, the Pasuk states, I will ordain my bracha for you in the sixth year, and it will make a crop sufficient for the 3 years. Do not read it as it's written, for the 3 years, rather read it as though it's written, for a third of the crop. So that the sense of the pasuk is that produce is considered finished when it's one-third ripe, and it's this moment that determines to which year's crop it should be assigned. So the Bar Mitzvah boy excitedly used his new Rabbanan's measurement kit to determine exactly when his plant reached a third of its growth, hoping it would last for 3 years, and also to check if his kidneys had taken root. Which reminds me, more brings a Mishnah in Shviz that teaches rice, mill, poppy, and sesame, which are all types of kidneys, that took root before Shoshana are tithed according to the past year and are permitted on the seventh year. But if they took root after Shoshana, they're forbidden during the seventh year and are tithed according to the coming year, since they are harvested a few at a time, resulting in some being picked before Shoshana and some after. The Rabban chose to assign them based on taking root. So once again, the Bar Mitzvah boy excitedly used his new Rabbanan's measurement kit to determine exactly when his plant reached a third of its growth, hoping it would last for 3 years, and also to check if his kidneys had taken root. All right, now it's time for our four Blabach Chazara. Daf Tes. So the Simmer Daf Tes is a teapot. So here goes. The little old ladies who had a tea party, that must be on Daf Tes, teapot. The little old ladies who had a tea party when they put down their plows before the Shemitah year began to be Mosif Mechol HaKodesh, which reminds us we have Malchus regarding the source for Mosif Mechol HaKodesh. Rabbi Kiva learns it from Bukhar Shibakatsir Tishbos, which he says applies to the Shemitah year. Since we already know that agricultural work cannot be done during Shviz, based on the Pasuk Sadcha L'Sisra, he applies it to before and after Shviz, that one must desist even at the plowing of the year before the seventh, whose benefit enters in the seventh, and that one must prescribe Kedusha Shviz to the reapings of the seventh year produce, whose growth continues into the year after the seventh. Rabbi Shmuel, who interprets this Pasuk as discussing Shabbos, learns the principle of Mosif Mechol HaKodesh from the Pasuk dealing with fasting on Yom Kippur. So the little old ladies who had a tea party when they put down their plows before the Shemitah year began to be Mosif Mechol HaKodesh, chattering that they overheard Yovel will begin even if they don't abandon their field to its ancestral owners, which reminds us, we have a Malchus regarding the criteria for Yovel to take effect. Rabbi Yudah says, it will take effect even if the people do not abandon their fields to their ancestral owners, and even if they do not sound the shofar, but will not take effect if they do not free their slaves. Rabbi Yossi says, it will take effect even if people do not abandon their fields to their ancestral owners, nor free their slaves. It will not take effect if they do not sound the shofar. And two reasons are given. So the little old ladies who had a tea party when they put down their plows before the Shemitah year began to be Mosif Mechol HaKodesh, chattering that they overheard Yovel begin, even if they don't abandon their field to its ancestral owners, couldn't believe it when they heard that even people in Chutzlars were freeing their slaves. Which reminds us that the Chachamim say that all three elements are essential for Yovel to take effect. The exclusionary term Yovel has come to teach that the laws of Yovel are in effect even outside of Eretz Yisrael, and people must free their slaves. That is, if in Eretz Yisrael they are freeing their slaves. Daf Yud. So the Sim Daf Yud is a minion of Yidden. So here goes. The minion of Batis, minion. That must be more in Daf Yud. The minion of botanists who knew that oral of fruit on a tree could still be prohibited in the fourth year, which reminds us that the source that orla and revive prohibitions are extended into the fourth and fifth year is that after saying that the fruit of a tree's first 3 years is orla, the pasuk states, ubashana haravis, and in the fourth year. And after presenting the fourth year's revive prohibition, it states, ubashana chamishis, and in the fifth year. These connective phrases through the letter vav connect the fourth year to orla and the fifth year to revive. So the minion of botanists who knew the orla fruit on a tree could still be prohibited in the fourth year planted the new sapling 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah so that it would take hold and count as 1 year. Which reminds me, it was taught in Bryce regarding one who plants a tree or bends a vine into the ground or grafts a branch onto an existing tree in the year before Shemitah, 3 days before Rosh Hashanah, when Rosh Hashanah arrives, is considered a full year with regard to orla. The Gemara suggests that the Brisa, which says that it must be a full 30 days before Rosh Hashanah in order to be considered a full year, is not in accordance with Rabbi Meir, who said Yom Echa B'Shana Chashushana, that a single day in a year is legally regarded as a full year. After extensive analysis, the Gemara will conclude that the Brisa is in accordance with Rabbi Meir, and when the Torah states that the tree must be planted 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, it's Laklita, discussing the period needed for the tree to take hold. So the minion of botanists who knew that orla fruit on a tree could still be prohibited in the fourth year planted the new sapling 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah so that it would take hold and count as 1 year, right next to their shrubbery sculpture illustrating which historical events occurred in Nisan versus Tishrei. Which reminds me of the Malkus Rabbi Gaza Rabbi Yeshua regarding which month the creation of the world took place in, as well as other historical events. Was it in Nisan or Tishrei? Daf Yadolf. So the Simmer Daf Yadolf is stars. So here goes. The stars. That must be more in Daf Yadolf. The stars twinkling over the earth that was covered in vegetation and laden with fruit, which reminds us, with Malkokas, when the world was created. Rabbi Yezu says, we know the world was created in Tishrei, for the Pasuk states, Eitz Pri, when the land is laden with fruits, which is Tishrei, whereas Rabbi Yeshua says, we know it was created in Nisan, for the another Pasuk states, Eitz Osa Pri, when the earth has trees producing fruit, which is Nisan. So the stars twinkling over the earth that was covered in vegetation and laden with fruit, and that were named after Tzaddikim that died on the same day they were born, which reminds us that we learned that each of the holds the elbows died in the month that they were born, for it stated Yomer Alem ben Mea Ves Mishana Anochi Yom. And he, Moshe, said to them, I'm 120 years old today. So why does the Torah add the word today? To teach them Moshe meant to say the following, Hayom Mali Yamai Ushnosa. Today my days and years are full. This comes to teach you that Kosh Baruch Hu sits and makes full the years of Tzaddikim from day to day and from month to month. So the stars twinkling over the earth that was covered in vegetation and laden with fruit, and that were named after the Tzaddikim that died on the same day they were born. Nul Mabul was coming when they noticed that Mazal Kim was coming up in the daytime and missing two stars. Which reminds us, the Malchokas regarding when the Mabul started is based upon the earlier Malchokas regarding when the world was created. The Pasuk states that the Mabul began in the 600th year in Noach's life in the second month on the 17th day of the month. Now, which month is the second month? According to Rebbe Eliezer, since the world was created in Tishrei, the second month is Mar Cheshvan. And according to Rabbi Yeshua, who holds the world was created in Nisan, the second month is Iyar. Both agree that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the Mazal Kima up at that time and took two stars from Kima and brought the Mabul to the world. Daf Yud Beis. So the Simmer Daf Yud Beis is 12 brothers. So here goes. As one brother of 12? 12 brothers? That must be one Daf Yud Beis. As one brother played with his remote control boat in a boiling cauldron of hot water, which reminds us that according to Beleza, the change in nature during the Mabul is that they were punished with boiling water since they sinned with a boiling substance, meaning semen, and this is learned from the word shachacha mentioned by the Mabul, which means subsided, and by Megillas Esther with Vachamas Amel shachacha, the anger of the king cooled down. So, as one of the brothers played with his remote control boat in a boiling cauldron of hot water, his 11 brothers were busy taking miser from their beloved vegetables, which reminds us that Bryson mentioned that Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah for both the Derabban of tithing vegetables and for Deraisa Maestras. He mentioned Maiser Yark first since it's Chavitum because it's the Derabbanan. So as one brother played with his remote control boat in a boiling cauldron of hot water, his 11 brothers were busy taking miser from their beloved vegetables while standing under a big sign reminding them not to take miser sheni in the third and sixth years. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a source that there's no chiyuv of Maaser Sheni in the third and sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, but the Pasuk said Shnasa Maaser, referring to only one Maaser, and not the typical two of Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni. We know that Maaser Rishon is always brought based on a hekesh of Maaser Rishon to Nachala. Just as an inheritance has no interruption, so too Maaser Rishon has no interruption, but is received by the Levi every year in the Shemitah cycle. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman, Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.